you're looking for deep Dynasty League information, prospect analysis, and farm system reviews, then look no further. The Dynasty Baseball Show starring Ron Rigney and Van Lee is here, and they are ready to talk fantasy baseball from a deeper perspective. Now here's your host, me, Van Lee. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Dynasty Baseball Show. It's me, it's Van Lee, and we are back, ladies and gentlemen. We are starting our 2022, is that right? Yes, 2022. That's a really weird year number to say.
So many twos.
Lots of twos, but there's a zero stuck in there somewhere. Anyway, we're starting our 2022 farm system analysis, and we're going to be starting with a great team this week, the Atlanta Braves, but I'm not doing this alone. I'm joined by that voice you just heard, which is Brian Vaughn. Brian, welcome back.
Well, it's good to be here. It's good to be talking a little bit of baseball. We don't know when the 2022 season will begin. There are some labor dangers, which sounds like a rejected AC/DC song or something like that.
I'd listen to it. Rocking pretty hard, right?
Yeah, but that's not going to stop us from talking about farm systems, which are the best, which are the worst, which are in the middle. And I have a definitive opinion about the Braves farm system we'll be covering today.
Fair enough. And speaking of in the middle, we have 6'4" me, 5'4" Brian, and we have Ron Rigney right there in the middle. Welcome to the show, Ron. How are you?
Glad to be here. Glad to be back with you, gentlemen. I've missed your faces over the last course of the last few months. And Van, I wanted to share this with you. My 7-year-old recently got the newest version of RBI Baseball for the Switch, and he was playing that earlier. He was the Rays, and he was playing your Angels. And I knew we were getting ready to record, and I heard him get really excited. And Joey Wendell hit a grand slam against your Angels. And I said, you know, that's Van Lee's favorite team. And he said, and I quote, "You need to tell Van Lee that Joey Wendell owns the Angels." So I'm just passing along his message to you.
I mean, I can't dispute that fact. And in fact, there are a lot of people that own the Angels, Joey Wendell not being the least among them. So yeah, impressive. I'm really proud of your son, to be honest. Do you know what the pitcher was? Who it was? Probably Otani, right?
I know he doesn't switch out much, so it had to have been a starter. I don't know who though.
Fair enough.
It's probably Ken Hill.
That's the one. Oh, Kevin Apier. Yeah. One of those guys.
Might have been Jared Weaver. I don't know.
Oh man, I have a Jared Weaver jersey. I love Jared Weaver. Anyway, this is of course the Dynasty Baseball Show. We're talking Atlanta Braves top prospects on the show today. We're going to get into that shortly, but since this is our first show of the season, I figure I would go over what's going on here at the Butu Inc. Studios, what we're planning on doing for this offseason, so on and so forth. So let's just do that real quick.
You know, the Four Non Blondes actually wrote a whole song about that, about what's going on.
Did they? How did it go?
There's a lot of hey, a lot of chanting hey, and then at the end they just ask the titular question. What's going on?
25 years and my life is still trying to get up this great big hill of hope. That's all. This is the best I got.
And this podcast actually is 3 non-blondes.
That's accurate. Ron's redheaded. Brian and I are blackheaded.
Yeah.
And we're good to go. All right. So housekeeping. Let's see here. Patreon. Let's start with that one. We still have a Patreon account, but many moons ago, I wiped out the old Patreon account so I could have everything under one roof. So if you like what we're doing and you want to support us, head over to patreon.com/ButuInc. where you will be able to sign up for just $2 a month per month. That's the best way to put that. And or more. You can give us more. Maybe you can give it $4 per month per month. But either way, you're going to get access to a ton of bonus content. And in fact, this is starting our bonus content for baseball right up again. We're going to give you the 10 top prospects for this system here on the regular show. The next 5 are going to be available on the Patreon feed. So definitely subscribe there if you're interested in hearing any more. But you're not just going to get some of that baseball content. You're going to get a lot of stupid content from the Boob Tube Boys, which is another podcast that Brian, myself, and our friend Spencer do on the Butu Inc. Network, where we make fun of old TV shows and see how they held up. What did we just cover, Brian? I can't even remember.
Most recently, we covered the USA Up All Night classic Silk Stockings. Oh yeah,
it was so sexy.
I'm getting sweaty thinking about it.
Oh yeah, yeah, of course. After your parents went to bed, you cracked that on. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Monday Night Raw ends. You don't. Shawn Michaels just kicked somebody. You flip over. You close your door. You turn the volume down to about 6 or 7. I mean, just to get the gist.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And then you watch some quasi boobs. That's how it goes. That was great. That show was weird. Anyway, check out BoobTube Boys, which is one of the podcasts available on the BoobTube Inc. network, alongside this show, the Dynasty Baseball Show, our sister baseball show, the Nasty Cast, which is also debuting once again this week, and also the Launch Angle Podcast, which is a baseball show I host with Jeff Zimmerman and Rob Silver, which we'll be recording all offseason as well. So tons of content there on the BoobTube Inc. podcast network. Tons of extra stuff available on patreon.com/BoobTube Inc. And then you can also reach us on Twitter. I am at Manly Van Lee. Brian is at Loud Guitar Brian. Ray is at The Real Made, M-A-D-A-Y.
At Ray Liotta 5.
He's joining the show here shortly. And then, of course, this show's Twitter handle, which I'm going to be making a concerted effort to tweet from more, as well as our NastyCast handle, is at Bootu Dynasty, B-O-O-T-U Dynasty. And then, of course, at NastyCast Pod is our NastyCast handle. Tons of stuff available there. You can ask us questions. You can yell at us. You can put whatever you want. So definitely give us a follow. Shoot us some likes or thumbs ups or hearts or whatever they give you on Twitter.
Yeah, you can also, this has happened, you can even ask Ron how he's so strong. How did he get so strong? How can you be that strong?
And we'll talk about it on the show. And then finally, for our off-season plans, we are starting up the Top Prospect series. We're going to run this through the off-season. Hopefully, we will get through all of them before the season begins. If we don't, we may bleed into it a little bit. We will see. Sometimes we'll double up if it's a really crappy farm system, so on and so forth. And I do want to hold a mailbag episode soon. So those Twitter handles I just gave you, shoot us some questions. I will put some, you know, tweets out there that you can reply to or whatever, and we will answer your questions on the show. And if you'd rather do it on email because you don't have the tweeter, you can go to bootuinc@gmail.com. And the old email address, Nasty Tracks Pods, is still there, but I prefer bootuinc.
And they don't have to be baseball questions.
No.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
Again, you can ask Ron why he's so swole. You can ask me about cheeseburgers.
You can ask Brian why he's so swole.
Yeah, you can ask Van about Brandon Wood. He loves it when you do that.
Sure do.
He especially, and also,
speaking of top prospects,
he also loves it when you ask him about Seth Beer as well. So make sure you fire those questions off.
We need a new player for you to hate this season.
It'll come organically.
Yeah, we'll see who it is.
All right, so that's going to do it for the housekeeping. It's time to get right into this. And I picked the Atlanta Braves not only because they won the World Series, of course. If you weren't paying attention, I mean, I was pretty much dead, so I didn't watch a single game of the World Series. That was kind of crazy. But anyway, cool thing for them. I appreciate that the Braves won. They were the team that I wanted once all the good teams left the playoffs, but I'm excited they made it. So not only did I choose that system for that reason, I also chose it because our friend of the podcast, Eric Cross, put out his prospect rankings for the team just this week. So this is a great opportunity for us to take his rankings, analyze them, and to discuss these players. So right out of the gate, let's toss it to Ron first. What do you think of this farm system as a whole? Where does it rank among the 30 teams for you?
I mean, I would say it's got to be it's got to be middle of the road. I think it's one of the systems that there are a lot of guys that have tons and tons of upside, but there are guys that are a little bit further away. We're not. I know one of the things that stood out to me is I don't see the riches of pitching prospects like we're used to the Braves having. I think they have more of the wild cards in the pitching game. They've got definitely some stellar athletes, but it looks like, and we'll get into this, it looks like they've got a lot of really solid athletes at the top that I guess the best way to put it is they have to learn how to play baseball well in order to reach that ceiling. You know, you see these, yeah, right? What a concept. So guys that are getting by with athletic ability at the lower levels that in order to be major leaguers, they're going to have to learn the basics. And like I said, we'll talk about those guys as we go along.
Certainly. The Braves are one of these teams that I have their system just eyeballing it, honestly, in probably the bottom 7 or 10 in terms of when you really look at depth and then top end talent. There's not a lot of star potential readily available right now. But that's also a result of the fact they just won the World Series and a lot of their talent was homegrown. I mean, they've had one of the better farm systems in baseball over the past decade, I would say. And when you look at the players they've graduated, I mean, it's most of their stars. It's Freeman, Albies, Acuna, Riley, Max Fried, Ian Anderson. I mean, these are guys that they've developed. So to Ron's
Adam
point,
Duvall.
Yeah, to Ron's point, maybe the system is, it looks like no one's that close now, but they have developed, Atlanta's developed players pretty well.
I definitely agree with that. And I think I, as I delved into this system, I became a little more enamored with it. On the outset, I'm like, God, this is a bad system. But a lot of these people have I've kind of warmed up on. One of the players I'll talk later, my first player, Spencer Strider, when he was drafted was, this guy's going to be a reliever. That's not the case anymore. There's still a chance of that, but he's really just blasted through the roof as far as prospect stock value. And that's partly because the Braves are a smart organization. Now, I actually point this out later, but I'll go ahead and drop it in now. If you guys remember, in 2017 was when the Braves got in a lot of trouble for basically dicking around with the international signing period stuff. They got a bunch of punishments levied at them, including former GM John Coppolella. I think that's how you say it. He was banned from baseball for life. So this was the final year of their punishments for that. They actually only had 50% of what they would traditionally have for an international budget. And going into next year, that's gone. They will no longer have any restrictions. Prior to this year, it was even worse. They could only sign players for $10,000 or less.
Ooh.
So it was some harsh stuff.
I mean, I'd sign.
You and I both, yeah. And that would kind of deplete the system a little bit. So we don't have a lot of international guys left in this system for that very reason. But there's still some reasonably high-end prospects. Last thing I wanted to say here before we get into it is if you like Eric's stuff, definitely check him out on Fantrax HQ. He also hosts the Fantrax Toolshed podcast with also friend of the podcast, Chris Clegg. Those guys are doing great work. Last I heard, they had a really cool guy doing the introduction for them as well. So
definitely check out that show. They did. I reported upon that. Also, those guys are great. Like, they are very active on Twitter too, if you have any questions for them.
Absolutely. All right. So let's dive into this. We're going to start with our number one prospect in the Braves system, and it's Michael Harris. Ron, you're going to tell us about him. Actually, Michael Harris the second. I'd like to point that out. So this is the first of our juniors or our sons that we will see.
I don't know if you guys know this, but I am also the second as well. I don't know if you guys knew
I
that.
I did know that, yeah, but it's so. Not at the forefront of my brain.
I knew there was a connection that I had with Michael Harris, and lo and behold, I found it.
There it is.
Yeah, so Michael Harris is one of those guys that I mentioned before.
Let's back up. Do you want to go by junior? Would you ever do that? Or do you prefer the second, or do you just leave it as? I know you leave it as, but.
I just leave it as is because I'm just used to it. But I don't know. To me, it sounds weird because I actually get like mail for junior and I don't know where that comes from. It's like credit card applications and stuff like that. It just looks weird. It sounds weird. I guess I'm just 41 years of knowing this is my name. So I guess it's hard to hear anything else and make it kind of sound right.
Hard to be a junior when you're 41 too.
What if you just went by RR2?
Okay. I like that. That's like a football player name.
Yeah.
Or wrestler.
Double R2.
That's pretty good.
And this is the worst thing to say. Present company excluded. I feel like, again, no offense to your dad, seriously, but I feel like anytime you name a kid after yourself, isn't that just a little like, come on. You're so sure yourself, you name your kid exactly after you.
And honestly, I'm not sure where that came from. Like, I'm not sure where that came about. And it was odd because that was one of the things that my wife asked me when we had sons is like, do you want to name them after you? And it took me like less than a nanosecond to say, absolutely, I do not want to. So. Is what it is. I don't know. Maybe that's a question for my mom next time I visit. I don't know. I'm not sure where that came from.
Do you guys think that Ken Griffey did Ken Griffey Jr. a bit of a disservice since Ken Griffey Jr. was a much better player?
I think a little. I think there's a little of that there. But Ken Griffey Sr. was
a very solid player. Yeah.
Fast.
Yeah.
Anyway, Michael Harris.
Anyway, on to the Atlanta Braves 2021 top prospect, yes. Ken Griffey Sr.
Ken Griffey III. So Michael Harris, he fits that mold of that guy I mentioned before, that solid athlete, has been able to kind of get by at the lower levels just based upon athletic ability. But he's a guy that's going to have to get better at a lot of things that are baseball related, one of those being pitch recognition. So the profile on Michael Harris, 6 foot, 20 years old, 195 pound, left-handed outfielder, third rounder out of 2019. And he's a guy that was a two-way player, was really solid as a pitcher as well. A lot of teams were looking at drafting him as a pitcher, but he kind of hung around to the third round. The Braves decided to pluck him off the board. They liked that potential that he had as far as that athletic ability that I spoke about for him to be a positional player. They still believe that, and so far that has paid off. And here we are. He's one of the youngest players at that famed alt site in 2020. Impressed in his debut in short season ball, got promoted to Rome with the Class A Braves. Struggled a little bit there in his first taste there, but 2021 put it together with an impressive season, and he's all about that raw athleticism. He has all kinds of range in the outfield, has a solid arm, but he needs to improve the pitch recognition, the base running ability in order to be able to translate that to baseball. And now that he's focusing just on being an outfielder and just on hitting, I think that we'll see that. Highest upside of anyone in the system if he pans out. I don't think that's even close. I know we're going to talk about a couple of guys that have been around for a while that in the outfield that are very good, but he is, to me, kind of the ultimate lottery ticket definition of a prospect. You know, one of these guys that you draft that you're hoping is just kind of that lights out superstar. And he has the potential to be that if he learns all these things, but he's still got a long way to go. Like you said, he is only 20 years old. Makes solid contact now. Scouts feel like with that athleticism, there's a lot of raw power to tap into. I'm just interested to see how they juggle these prospects in the outfield, because we're going to talk about a few other guys a little bit further down the list that are a little bit closer to the majors. I know that they're going to have some needs in the outfield, so maybe some of these guys finally get a shot. You know, we've seen one of them, Christian Pache, in the past. Didn't pan out like they thought he would. We'll see what happens here. But Michael Harris is a guy that I don't think a lot of people are unless you're, you know, you really follow this stuff super close, are going to know a lot about. But I think he's a guy that you're going to start hearing a lot about starting with this season.
And maybe not the prospect you want to have as your number one guy in the system. You prefer someone close to the majors with elite tools, that sort of thing. But definitely a solid prospect and someone who could turn into that if everything breaks right.
He's definitely one of those players you wish was the 10th best prospect in your system with the potential to be the first.
Right, definitely. Did you guys see what his plate appearances last year were for Atlanta and High A? 420. Blaze it.
Whoa, wow. Yeah, I was gonna say he really knows how to toke a walk. Oh whoops. Whoa. I mean, take up. A walk.
All right, well, let's go move on to the number two prospect in the system. Brian, this is yours, and as you texted me the other day, he is some sort of bastard child between yourself and former San Francisco Giant Marquise Grissom, because he is Vaughn Grissom. So tell us a little bit about this bastard child.
Yes, he is. Well, this bastard child, Vaughn Grissom,
cool name.
It is a really cool name.
Sounds like maybe a Dracula, some sort of count.
A Dracula or a villain, or maybe somebody who drives on the Autobahn without a seatbelt. He was an 11th rounder in 2019, so he's kind of come out of nowhere to some degree. He's a 6'3", 180-pound, 20-year-old infielder. He can play short, second, or third, but as you notice by the height, he's a little tall traditionally for what you would think of as a shortstop, even though there are several bigger shortstops now, including, you know, Corey Seager, Cal Ripken. It's been going on for a while.
He's still at playing every day.
He wishes. And he projects Grissom, not Cal Ripken, who's a Hall of Famer. Grissom projects to be a well-rounded infielder, though. He doesn't really have any holes in his game. More likely than not, though, he's going to wind up at third base due to his size and the likelihood that he'll fill out more. And filling out more is the key to his other path to success, which is offering a little bit more power than he currently does. He seems to kind of have average or a little below average power right now. And his first pro ball showing last year was a good one. He had a low strikeout rate, and he drew plenty of walks across both A and High A in 2021, and even hit a few homers in High A before moving up. He also stole 16 bases and a little under 400 plate appearances. But that's not really a thing you can count on. He doesn't have much in the way of foot speed. And again, as he fills out, that's not going to get any better. So Grissom, to me, this is certainly not a perfect comp, because Dansby Swanson is the player I'm going to talk about. But Swanson, I think, is a better version of what I sort of think of Grissom, which is an infielder who maybe has multi-position eligibility and doesn't knock you out in any one category. But for me, I don't think Grissom reaches what Dansby has, but I think he could be a handy player. Probably not a fantasy asset, again, unless some more improvements are made.
I think this is the first of several players we'll discuss today who have good speed, but it's something I would call defensive speed. It's, it's taking a quick first step. It's playing a good defensive position and being fast out there, but that won't translate to base stealing. There are quite a few in this system that are very, very similar to that. And this is, again, another instance in this system where I go, really, is this the number two guy? But there's just no one behind him that makes me go, oh, okay, well, that's
yeah, and you can kind of see, like, when you look at the names behind him, like, maybe Grissom's upside isn't the same, but also neither is the floor. The floor is higher.
Yeah, this is a very mid-tier grouping of players. There's no elite standout. They're all like, okay, I can see the path to this becoming really good, but I can also see the path to this, them being, you know, a replacement-level player.
Yeah, there's no Ronald Acuña in this bunch.
Right. All right, so we'll move on to the number third prospect on the list here. It's Spencer Strider, and Strider is definitely a top prospect in the Brave system and not at all the protagonist of a space-based RPG or first-person shooter video game.
I love
he also, by the way, does not have the facial hair of the protagonist of a space-based RPG or first-person shooter video game at all. It's real cool. It's kind of like, what was that pitcher? John Axford. He has like Axford facial hair.
Civil War facial hair.
Yeah, and he's got a little baby head, so it just doesn't quite match up. I like it. All right. Anyway, he was drafted with pick 126 overall in the 2020 draft out of Clemson. All right. Okay, hold on. So my notes, I don't publish. So these are just strictly for me to read out loud on the show.
Little nuggets for you and you alone.
And that means that I don't proof them.
Yeah.
So let me go ahead and read this as it's written. He's a 222-year-old, 6-foot right-hand pitcher, and he's already had Tommy John surgery back in 2019. So I think around year 180.
Yeah,
he started to really get the hang of pitching.
Well, and it was actually, he looks young, but that's because he was actually bitten by Count Dracul at the at the ripe age of 20.
Bitten by Vaughn Grissom. 22 years old, 6 foot tall. Like I said, he's already had Tommy John surgery. That came back in 2019. And when he was drafted in the fourth round, a lot of people were left scratching their heads because it wasn't much of a known commodity. But clearly the Braves did their homework. And now that he's pretty much fully over his surgery and getting back to business, he looks like a great pick. For his arsenal, he has a fastball that sits in the mid-90s and can touch 97 consistently. He actually manages to hold that even late in the games as well. He has a slider slash curveball, depending on who talks about it. It complements the fastball well and helps lead him to a tons of strikeouts, despite some pretty sketchy command. And finally, he has a developing changeup that will absolutely make or break him as a starting pitcher. It does have good shape and potential. It's just going to come down to his ability to command it and utilize proper pitch selection. Now, the positives here are that he absolutely has come out of the gate strong for the Braves after they drafted him. In 2021, he put up a total of 96 and a third innings across single A, high A, double A, triple A, and also the majors. That's right. One season, he made stops all through those levels. That is crazy. We don't see that very often.
It's a full house.
He accrued an ERA under 4 and had a strikeout rate over 14 per 9. So he struck out a lot of batters across all of those innings. The walks were a tad high, but a walk per 9 under 4 is a push in the right direction, at least. If things pan out and that changeup does develop, you could potentially be looking at a high strikeout number 2 starting pitcher here. But on the negative side of things, Strider has had major command issues, particularly in his year prior to undergoing the Tommy John surgery in college, which was his freshman season. Now, like I said earlier, the command hasn't been bad since his return, but any sort of negative progress on that front could spell danger for the right-hander. He's not a big guy, 6 foot flat. His delivery is a little arm heavy for my taste. So if the changeup doesn't progress and he's a two-pitch guy, there's always the risk of him heading to the bullpen, which, again, prior to the breakout season last year, a lot of people thought he would definitely be in the bullpen. But, you know, that outlook has changed pretty drastically. Now, overall, he's a fairly risky bet, but also one that could pay big dividends. I do actually like him a lot, but that comes with the caveat that 2022 is going to make or break him in my eyes. Watch his command, watch the changeup usage and development, and then make your decision from there. All right, that's a good time to take a quick break, so let's do that. When we get back, we'll round out the top 10 of the Atlanta Braves, system. Atlanta Babes.
Atlanta Babes.
Barbra Streisand.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Van Lee alongside Brian Vaughn and Rob Rigney. I did it on purpose that time because I was going to mess it up anyway. No, Ron Rigney. And in fact, Ron, you're going to cover this next player for us. It's Drew Waters, who used to be a very, very high-end prospect in the system, has struggled a bit since. So tell us about Waters and if there's any hope left.
Yeah, there's one of those guys that feels like he's been around for years and years at this point. And it was a second round pick.
222 years at this point.
Maybe even 225 at this point. Second rounder in 2017. So he has been in the system a little while. 6'2", 185 pound, switch hitting outfielder. And it's yet again, it's at a position where they have a couple of guys that are very close that, you know, like you said, Van, used to be top prospects that we have to kind of see how they're going to pan out. And I think that, you know, things are shaping up for them to get a chance coming up. He's performed well at every level. The only knock against him is the strikeout rate that we see at every stop is a little bit higher than you want to see. And for his career, he's at 29.7 with only a 7% walk rate. So that's something that a guy with not blazing speed, but enough speed that he can steal you some bases. You obviously want to see those numbers going in the opposite directions of each other. But he is another solid athlete in that outfield. Is a solid hitter, not a power hitter, but he's able to turn on things really quickly from both sides of the plate, able to spray it to all fields, able to get on base. But it's something where he's not stealing enough bases, I don't think, for a guy with 60 grade speed. He's also got Christian Pache to beat out for that center field job. But I think one of the things that helps Drew Waters out is he does have experience at every outfield spot. And I think at the worst, which is a great thing for the Braves, if you would have this guy develop into this, it's kind of like we talk about with teams like with what Atlanta used to be or with like Tampa Bay, how they have this embarrassment of pitching riches and these guys that would be pitchers that are counted on to be starters in other systems. If they turn out to be solid relievers in these systems, that's still a really good thing for these teams. I think Drew Waters could kind of formulate into that fourth outfielder that can kind of platoon or fill in case somebody needs a day off. Obviously, we've still got a pretty solid guy there in center named Ronald Acuna Jr. that's going to be coming back off an injury. So they have to find
He's all right.
He's decent, I guess, if you like that sort of thing, guys that can do everything on the baseball diamond. So it's going to be an interesting offseason as well, because it wouldn't shock me if one of these guys gets traded for something. I'm not sure what, but Drew Waters, Pache, you know, Michael Harris, like I said, they all kind of fit the same. They all play the same position. And so we'll see where they end up putting them. But I think Drew Waters could potentially be that odd man out. But if he ends up being that guy that can fill in at all the spots off the bench, steal some bases, hit well, I don't think that, like I said, that's necessarily a bad thing for Atlanta if they have all those other talented guys in as their starters every day and have Waters coming off the bench.
My favorite statistic about Drew Waters here is that last year in AAA, he had 459 plate appearances, so a pretty damn good sample, right? Almost full season's worth. And he had a 341 BABIP and a 240 batting average.
It's hard to pull off.
How do you have a 100-point difference in your BABIP and batting average, and it's lower? That is bizarre. You don't see that very often. Disappointed in Drew Waters. I mean, there's still something to be found here. I would like to see him actually show some power potential at some point. He's really struggled with the switch hitting. I don't know if the answer is to make him just stick with hitting one way or the other or what, but there's still some potential to be found here. Again, he's 22 years old. He's not super old, so we'll see what he can do. Next up on the list at number 5, he was mentioned earlier, it's Christian Pache. Brian, you're going to tell us a little bit about this defensive-oriented center fielder who, I don't know, maybe a year ago was the darling of fantasy circles, even though he's not really a fantasy player?
I think Pache is a player that all of us certainly were lower on compared to the industry standard going into last season and really any season. He's a guy we've discussed, and I think he is one of those guys who was on so many lists in real life because of real life skills. So if you were looking at a prospect list that was not fantasy related, you'd see Pache's name everywhere. He is, for all intents and purposes, an incredible defensive center fielder and base runner. And those are the things that mean he'll have a high floor relative to what major league teams want. And he'll probably wind up with a starting job no matter what happens offensively. But as we correctly noted last season, Pache has a lot of offensive holes in his game. He doesn't really hit for contact or power all that much. And while he can steal a base, he's got to get on base to take advantage of that speed. And at the major league level, he has tanked so far. It's just, you know, it's short of 100 plate appearances, so nothing to get worked up over. He's only 22. But it kind of lends credence to what we were thinking, that Pache is a glove-first guy, and maybe all you're going to get out of them is an empty 2020 down the line with a lot of baggage that comes with it. And there is a use for that for sure. But I think he's a really good example of, if you're investigating prospects for your dynasty league, don't worry too much about any prospect rankings that aren't fantasy driven, unless you're looking at the underlying skills versus the ranking. Because going into last season, you could have seen Pache in a top 10 list for, you know, real baseball. And I think sometimes that gets muddled for people. But yeah, he's a player who I like a lot more in real life. And I think we have a lot more questions than answers right now in terms of what he'll ever do with the bat.
Yeah, that's totally fair. And it reminds me, you're going to have to help me out, because for whatever reason, I'm blanking on his name, even though he's still playing to this day. A few years ago, he was the number one prospect for the Texas Rangers, middle infielder, shortstop.
Jurickson Profar.
Profar, who was very similar. Yeah. He was a real baseball top prospect.
Right.
Fantasy didn't quite fit the mold. And that's a little bit of what we're looking at here with Pache. So tread cautiously is what I would say. Because of his defensive value, he's probably going to play every day, so maybe there is some value to be found there in fantasy, particularly if he can start running like we initially thought he could. But you have to be a little more skeptical now, certainly. And we are. He's fifth on this list now instead of first.
Are lists you could have seen him fifth overall recently.
Absolutely. All right, number six on the list, it's Jesse Franklin V. And Franklin V, who is an outfield prospect from the Braves system and not at all one of the founding fathers of America, he was drafted in the third round with pick 97 overall in the 2020 draft. Now, Franklin missed a big chunk of time thanks not only to COVID, but also labrum surgery on his throwing side. Now, in college, he wound up playing first base rather than the outfield to allow his shoulder to heal. And throughout college, he did hit well in spurts. With the shoulder all healed up now, though, Franklin found his way back to center field, and he does project to stay there, at least for the time being. He has a bit of a weak arm, so that's likely going to limit him to left field if he can't stick in center, but he's got a quick enough first step that this won't be an issue for a while. In 2021, we saw Franklin put up 406 plate appearances in high A, racking up a 244, 320, 522 slash line with 24 home runs and 19 stolen bases. Now, that all looks pretty great, right? Well, it's a little more suspect than you think. Not only was he 22 years old in a very, very low level of the minors, but he still struck out nearly 30% of the time, 28.4% of the time, which is just way too much against lower competition. As far as his tools go, his biggest asset is likely his power, which currently grades out around 50 to 55. His hit tool is the weakest of his tools, hovering around a 35 grade. He is fairly quick, but again, this is one of those players that I think has defensive speed rather than base stealing speed. So despite the 19 steals last year, I really don't think he's going to steal much in the majors if and when he makes it. The hit tool likely does limit the in-game power, barring a renaissance, so you're not necessarily looking at an above-average regular here. In the best of situations, I think he's probably a 250, 315, 450 hitter with maybe 20 home runs and 5 to 10 stolen bases. Of course, on the other end of that is a guy who gets 350 plate appearances a season with a bat average and maybe just a little bit of power. Not very exciting, but I do think he's probably a major leaguer in the end. And again, there's value to be had from that. So not a player I'm too enamored with, but someone that I could see providing three or four seasons of, you know, reasonable power and a batting average that won't kill you. But for the most part, not a whole lot to see here. All right, moving on to number seven on the list. It's Ryan Cusack. Ron, you're going to tell us a little bit about him.
Yeah, I've been a fan of Ryan Cusack since Say Anything. And then there was Serendipity.
I swear to you, I almost did that joke, but I was like, high fidelity. Nah, I'm going to pass.
Love dogs.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's got a body of work that speaks for itself. I mean, I
Hot
don't
Tub
know what
Time
else.
Machine.
Yeah, I don't
yeah,
know
that
what
movie
else
was
say,
fun.
Okay.
It was fun.
There's that movie, 1418 or something, where there's a room
1402.
That's scary.
Yes.
Yes. Hold on. I'm going to pull up the John Cusack IMDb. No, I'm just kidding.
I think we covered it already.
I think we did. Yeah, that's not much left to say after that. So let's focus on Ryan Cusack, the Major League Baseball pitcher, shall we? So another, and I think he's going to be that first guy that's going to kind of get them back on the map as far as being known for pitching prospects. I know, Van, you talked about all the troubles that they've had with the discipline they got from the issues a few years ago. But Ryan Cusack is their first rounder from this past season, from 2021. 6'6", 235-pound right-hander, 22 years old, a more polished college arm out of Wake Forest. name of his game is the 70 grade fastball that he has that sits in the high 90s late into games. He's hit 102 with it on the gun, which and I hate that you think about this with prospects immediately when you see that, but he's not had Tommy John surgery yet. So when you see guys that throw that hard and he has quite the arsenal of breaking pitches he's going to work on, that just screams that at some point in the near future, you're probably going to see Tommy John happen. But he's worked hard on the breaking pitches to try to complement that fastball. The one that's most notable is a curve that's developed a little bit quicker than the slider and the change, but all have shown promise according to what scouts say. So him being able to throw that fastball as part of that four-pitch arsenal, I think it makes him a great dynasty draft candidate for sure. Guy that you can I don't know necessarily how expensive he'll be, but I think he's a guy that you could build your pitching staff around if you're a dynasty startup especially. But I think that he's a guy, you know, he's a big pitcher, easy delivery, high arm slot that he just makes it look really, really easy. Makes that 97, 98 on the gun look like he's not even trying. Gets the most out of the size with that arm slot. I think there's a lot of potential here for quick movement through the minors if he can command the breaking pitches, which, you know, every minor league pitcher ever, I guess you could say, might have that profile as well. But we did get a little bit of him last year at Class A, 16 and a third innings pitched. The main thing that jumps off the page at you is that 18.73 K per nine, which with a fastball like that and the three breaking pitches that he's working on, he's kind of a man amongst boys at that level. So it'll be interesting to see where they start him out at. But I think there's a lot of potential here, a lot of upside. And I think at 22, with being a college guy, I think he's somebody that if you draft him, he could help you sooner rather than later as long as he stays healthy.
We really need to see that changeup develop. And I know he worked on it pretty heavily in instructional or wherever it was he was working on it. So we'll see. Now, like you said, in the majors, it was kind of the last time he debuted in pro ball, he didn't really show the changeup. So we need to see it. And if we see it, then I think there's a chance he could become a pretty good starter because that fastball is really good. The slurvy curve is potential. So we'll see. All right, moving on to number 8. Our next player actually found himself on a plane traveling to Boston to play the Red Sox minor league team. And when he woke up, he fell asleep. Everyone else on the plane had disappeared except for him and 9 other people. And it's just a very, very weird situation. And he had to get to the bottom of it. Usually it takes maybe 5 or 10 episodes of a miniseries to get through that. And that's what it took for Shea Langeliers, Brian. I think that's the plot of the Langeliers.
Yeah, it's very elaborate.
It's been 5 years that I've been making Langeliers jokes, and I finally figured it out. What is the Tommy knockers?
I think it's they knock a bunch of Tommies.
Ooh, I was going to say that one Tommy, but he passed away recently.
Yeah, let's go with Tommy Edman instead.
That'll do. Okay. Yeah. Knocked him right
so,
over.
So Shea Langeliers also sounds like one of the suspended singers of one of those stomp clap hey bands from like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And also, like, he might have John Axford facial hair.
I think Shea Langeliers is doing a residency in Vegas now, if I'm not mistaken.
He plays a mean banjo.
In reality, he plays a mean catcher, or at least a very respectable one. So Langeliers will probably stick at catcher. He's 23. We don't like catching prospects around these parts. But for Langeliers, at least, I think he'll wind up being a major league regular. Down the line, he doesn't have a whole lot wrong with his game, especially for a catcher. Solid enough arm, good enough glove, and offensively, he's fine. Last year, he even hit 22 homers in under 400 plate appearances, so at Double A, but he did strike out 27% of the time there, and that's going to be an issue. He'll need some time at Triple A. I think he could develop, as I said, but I don't think Langeliers is a catching prospect you need to break the bank for. It's our stance collectively that if you're going to be rostering catching prospects in a dynasty league, go big or go home on that. Like, you need a top prospect, essentially, for a catcher to worry about it in terms of the bat. Langeliers isn't that. I see him more in the... I want to say, like, things break right, and he's a Yan Gomes type who some years he's drafted, some years he's not, but you're fine if he's on your roster, so to speak. But I don't see any star potential there.
Yeah, totally acceptable there. Can't argue with that. Now, our next player, which is number 9 on the list, unlike Matt or Skip Schumacher, this player is in the present tense, not the past tense.
He's doing it right now.
He's doing it right now. It's Braden Shoemake. And Shoemake was taken in the 2019 draft at 21st overall out of Texas A&M, which, by the way, I looked it up. stands for asses and meat. Now,
facts.
Wow, I couldn't keep it straight on that one. He is a lanky shortstop. You mentioned earlier, who was it? It was 6'3" as a shortstop.
Grissom, like, yeah, Vaughn Grissom.
He's pretty tall. 6'4" is what Braden Shumake is as a shortstop. So, yeah,
that's another... really pushing. I think 6'3", 6'4", that I think that's as tall as we've ever had.
It's like Nomar. That's what I think of when I think of that.
Ripken, as I mentioned before, I think was 6'4".
That's about the max. You don't see many 7 foot tall shortstops.
A-Rod, obviously.
Randy Johnson.
John Rauch.
Oh man, I forgot about him. Anyway, he is 6'4", 190 pounds. He's pretty lanky, and he isn't the most exciting fantasy prospect, but I think he's a tiny bit interesting if things do work out. Tools wise, it was long known that his best tool would be his hit tool, but shockingly, he's been pretty mediocre with the bat so far. He had 218 in his first taste of single A back in 2019, but after a short call-up to double A, hit just 217 the rest of the season. Didn't get much better in 2021, where he was at double A all year long and hit just 228, 271, 401. That slash also points to a very weak walk rate of just 4.9%. Shumake does have a bit of power, despite the lithe frame and reputation of being a hit tool first player. He popped 12 home runs last year in his 344 plate appearances, and I've seen some scouts actually give him a 50 potential grade on the power, but unless he actually does come through with the hit tool, that's going to be just a pipe dream. Shumake also possesses some of that high-grade defensive speed, but isn't likely to translate to much on the base paths. Defensively, he can probably stick at shortstop thanks to a good arm, but his actual fielding and range is not that great. If it doesn't work there, you could see him shift to second or third and cross your fingers to second base, because I think his bat would play up a bit more there as opposed to short or at third base. If things do pan out, he's a shortstop or second baseman with a chance for a good average and some decent pop. If it doesn't work out, he'll struggle to hit for average or power and could be just completely forgotten about. He is very cheap in dynasty leagues, though. No one seems to care. So I think there are worse risks to take, depending on how deep your minor league roster might be. And finally, we're going to round out the basic podcast here with our number 10 prospect on the list, Bryce Elder. Ron, tell us a little bit about him.
Real quick, though, Shumake could also be like when someone, if he's in the process of making a shoe and someone's getting his attention, much like if you're in a bar and you need someone to serve you.
Barkeep.
Yes. Shumake.
Okay. Yeah, I could see that.
All right. I hope that was worth the insertion.
I'm proud of you.
I'm still not convinced it's not Shumake and we're all wrong. So Bryce Elder is kind of an interesting prospect, a guy that's a little bit unique in the fact that he's a minor leaguer that has better breaking stuff than he does a fastball, which is not something that we talk about a lot on here. But he does throw a variety of things and throws them very well and does have a fastball that sits mid-90s, but it's not really his money pitch. That would be his slider. He's able to throw the slider for strikes at any point within the count. He's able to manipulate it a little bit. He's able to pick spots with it better than any of his other pitches. He's got a curveball that trails a little bit behind that, throws a change as well, but the fastball sits there at 50 grade with the slider at 60, the curve at 55. The overall feel I get from him, he's a guy that there's a little bit of risk, I think, as far as being a reliever. I think if he does end up sticking in the rotation, he's going to be one of those back-end guys. He's 6'2", 220, so he's got a nice durable frame, 22 years old. He's been in the system a little while. Throws pretty much every pitch that he has for strikes. The only knock on him that I've seen is especially at AAA, the walks took a pretty sizable climb to 4.91. Strikes out about 9 guys per 9 innings, so about a strikeout per inning for him. I don't think he's not a power pitcher. He's not a guy that's going to get you a ton of Ks per 9. But I think he's kind of this first guy within this system that ends up giving you a little bit of relief risk here. But like I said, you know, like I was mentioning early on with Drew Waters, I think with a franchise like this that usually has that, you know, those riches of pitching, I think that they're a guy. I think that if he does end up in the bullpen, not necessarily a bad thing. But I think it's about a 50-50 shot here. I think he could be maybe one of those sixth guy in the rotation starters that can give you a start here and there, but can also come in and give you some long relief innings. But I think he develops into a nice little weapon for the Braves, because I don't think there's any one thing he does really good, but he just throws all of his pitches really well, and he's just really solid across the board.
Fun fact, he's the grandson of my favorite British Prime Minister, Pitt the Elder.
Wow.
AKA Barney's favorite British Prime Minister on The Simpsons.
It's also, I didn't realize we had so many.
No, sorry. I have to back up. It's, who's the baseball? It's Wade Boggs' favorite.
A chicken?
No, yeah. No, it's Wade Boggs' favorite prime minister. Barney's favorite is Lord Palmerston. My mistake.
Oh, okay. Well, please, that's continue. Anyone could make that mistake. I'm just glad to know that we have all these Bryces. One of them makes harps. One of them's the oldest one. That's this one, Bryce Elder.
And don't forget former Braves prospect Bryce Wilson.
Yeah. The
volleyball.
Really?
He's a volleyball, yes.
I always thought he looked familiar. I just kept expecting Tom Hanks to pick him up.
Just carry him around for a bit. Yeah, definitely. All right, that's going to do it for today's show. And we thank everyone for tuning in. Once again, subscribe at patreon.com/ButuInc for more content, because we're going to continue recording our next several prospects for the series. Little bit of a teaser here. I'm going to give you some names. The names we're going to discuss on that bonus episode are Jared Schuster,
mm-hmm,
Kyle Muller, Joey Estes, and more.
You had me at there? Schuster.
Teased a couple, but there's also more that I'm not going to tell you about. You have to listen. You have to subscribe to find out. So, God, I can't get this URL down. Patreon.com/ButuInc. But before we get out of here, boys, on the regular show, any words of wisdom for the fans out there?
Well, it's good to be back. It's good to be talking prospects. One fun thing about this exercise is, since we're starting early, we're going to be able to get all these done for you guys. And also, I'd imagine, kind of before the season starts, update our thoughts a little bit. So, feels good to be doing this with a large window of time.
Yeah, very true. I can get behind that. All right, well, that's going to do it for the show. So, for Ron Rigney and Brian Vaughn, I'm Van Lee, and we'll catch you next time on the Dynasty Baseball Podcast.